Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, stop for a moment with me. Relax your minds in the middle of all your busyness and meditate with me on some beautiful words, a beautiful promise from our God. It's found in Luke 12, verse 32, and it reads there as follows. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's think about three things on the basis of that text. First, God and ourselves. Then God in contrast to Satan, as we heard in our scripture reading. And finally, Satan and ourselves. What a beautiful picture we have here in our text. God, our Heavenly Father. It's His good pleasure, it's His attitude of His mind and of His heart not to sell us the kingdom, not to loan us the kingdom, but to give us the kingdom. The more I studied on this text, the more the impact began to settle in on me and to lead me to realize that God's attitude toward me, God's attitude toward you, is a kind attitude. It's a loving attitude. His protection, His love, His forgiveness, His continuing care are a free gift for all of us. Jesus, our Savior, our friend, our brother, the one who paid for our sins, the one whose life and death has actually resulted in freedom for us from sin and from its wages, death. All of these things are pure gifts. They are pure grace. In fact, we can say that you and I cannot buy God's love and forgiveness. We can't earn God's love and forgiveness. We don't deserve God's love and forgiveness. God's love and forgiveness is pure grace. We can, on the other hand, receive it by faith. We can enjoy God's love and forgiveness every day. We can share in the fellowship of God's love and forgiveness, and we can use that fellowship and share that with other people outside of our own group. In fact, the text focuses on fellowship with that little phrase there, little flock. As I look out this morning, there are probably about 250, 300 of us here in the chapel. When the chapel is full, like it was some of the days last week, and we were singing together, and if you opened your ears and heard that singing, we really didn't sound like a little flock at all. We sounded very much more like a multitude. However, if we think in terms of the 4.7 billion people in the world, then we are a little flock. Even if we think in terms of all of the unreached people groups in the world, we are a little flock. Some 16,750 people's groups without a dynamic witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst. Think of it for a moment. About 50 of those people groups, more like 60 probably with a number of us in here today, about 60 people groups for each one of us. And yet, in a sense, we are truly God's little flock. We are His gathered people in this place. We are here to thank God that He has given us the kingdom. Let's take a moment to concentrate then on just who we are and what we do have. We're part of God's people in this generation. Last Sunday, my wife and I had the privilege of worshiping in Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Crystal Lake, Illinois. It was a place where I had vicared some 25 years ago. And in each of those three services, I found myself saying to the people how good it was to be a part of God's thankful people there in that place, to share in receiving God's love, to respond with praise and with worship. I had that same joy here in the chapel during the last 2 weeks. I hope you did too. I trust that you enjoyed the fullness of Christian fellowship each day. And I trust that it will remain as fresh and as meaningful for you at the end of the first quarter and during the second quarter and right on through to the end of the year. As I was sitting here in chapel several days ago, that thought came across my mind, and I coveted the fact that we would gather here as God's people every day, that we would remember that he's given us the gift of the kingdom, that we would put it first in my heart and in your heart, that we would consciously enjoy that gift every day. I knew full well that if we did that, all of the other things in our busy schedule then would fall into place. In fact, that our life of study and preparation here at the seminary needs to really be interpreted as our praise, as our worship, rather than being understood as some kind of an unhappy payment, a grudging giving that is necessary for us to become ministers. But then there's a second part to this text, especially if we think of what we heard from the lectern. Our scripture reading focuses our attention on the other side, not only the loving God, but Satan. We heard it read from verse 11 of Ephesians 6, "Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks." Interesting. The devil's evil tricks on one hand, God's good gifts on the other hand. It reminds us of 1 Peter 5:8, where the devil is compared to a roaring lion, stalking about, seeking whom he may devour. It's interesting that the Bible thinks of the devil and pictures him as a lean and a hungry animal, always looking for someone to consume. That picture is very, very clear for me because I personally had the experience of seeing a lion kill of a Cape buffalo in Tanzania. And it's interesting how it takes place. First, there's that uneasy quiet as the lion is sizing up the herd. Then all at once the herd senses danger, and you can see the fidgeting in the group. Soon one or two of the animals breaks from the group and begins to run. And immediately the whole herd is thrown into panic, into fright, and then finally into flight. And once the flight has started, all the lion needs to do is watch for that animal that straggles behind, that can't keep up with the group, or for the one that takes its own direction. And then it's just a matter of time until he moves in for the kill. The first thing I'd like to note from this is that the lion, or actually the lioness, since it's the female lion that is the main hunter, must first of all get the herd to scatter. That is, he has to break up the fellowship somehow. He has to get each one of those animals thinking about his own safety rather than the safety of the group. The fact of the matter is that if that herd of Cape buffalo would stand its ground, stay together, there's no way that that lion could ever succeed. And so too it is with us here at the seminary. The secret to our survival through this year and through the seminary and through our life, in fact, is to recognize that when the devil attacks, we need to go back to the fellowship. In such a situation, it's very important for us to hear the words of our text ringing out for us. "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's your Father that gave you your Lord Jesus Christ. It's your Father that was behind the shedding of his blood on Calvary. It's your Father that paid the price. He has given you the kingdom. It's yours already. What a contrast there is then between God and the devil. God is the good giver. The devil is the taker, the devourer, the consumer. Then finally, the devil and each one of us. There's an interesting Ethiopian proverb that I'll never forget. It reads like this: "The eye of the leopard is on the goat. The eye of the goat is on the leaf." Where is your eye right now? If my guess is right, your eye right now is on your studies. And that's very good. Unfortunately, you will be tempted, if you have not already been tempted, to take your eye off of the studies, to start looking at your fellow students, to look to the left, to look to the right, to be tempted by the idea of comparison, and then of competition. And once your mind has directed itself into that channel, you're in trouble. Insecurity and fear will probably rush in, the next thing that will happen. And it's only then a small step to the breakdown of the fellowship, to breaking up the routine of regular worship and praise and seeking to outdistance each other by breaking away in our own direction, as it were. When that kind of temptation comes to you, and I know it will, remember that while your eye is on the leaf, Satan's eye is on you. He stalks near in order to arouse fear. He would like nothing better than to see us break up, see us in flight, so that he can pick us off, in a sense, one by one. Yes, little flock, fellowship is important. The early Christians found themselves in that very same kind of a situation, and we see in Acts 2, 42 and 46, what they did about it. Five things. Let me just quote from the scriptures for you. First, it says that those early Christians, day by day, met as a group in the temple. Two, it says, they devoted themselves to learning from the apostles. Three, they took part in Christian fellowship. Four, they regularly shared the fellowship meal. And five, they continued together, not only alone, but together in prayer. They lived by the promise that the Father had given them when he said, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, renew in us your Holy Spirit each day. Remind us each day that you have given us the kingdom, that we don't have to fight for it or earn it. Renew in us regularly the desire for fellowship. Help us to enjoy the gift that you have given it. Lead us to share this kingdom that you've given to us. Help us to know that you have overcome Satan fully and finally in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and through him give us the power to live our life out in witness and praise. May it be so for us here at Concordia Theological Seminary during this academic year. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.